You are listening to the Canet Report, official podcast of the Voyageurs. For all things Canadian soccer, visit www.canadian-soccer.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your Canet Report host, Mr. James Wadsworth.
Hello and welcome to the Canet Report for September 30th. This show is going to be completely different than most because there's no news and there's really only one thing to this show, which is my interview with Rocket Robin. I've decided that the news is... It needs to be changed, so hopefully I will have those changes done by next week and the news will be listenable. And I'm also planning on getting a whole bunch of other things for you next week as well. And also the week after that. So the next two shows should be great. And then I'm going to England for 2.5 weeks, so you won't get anything from me then. And then I'll be right back into the swing of things. So, here's my interview with Rocket Robin. With me here on the line is Rocket Robin, the ultimate Canadian Soccer League fan. He's going to be giving me a history of the league and run down the season. But first, Robin, tell us a little bit about the amazing work or play that you do related to the Canadian Soccer League and Toronto soccer in general.
Well, it was a hobby of mine, watching soccer games. I guess I've been a follower of the league since 1989, where I started following in the old Canadian Soccer League, which is the name of this new league, but it was the days of Vancouver Whitecaps, Toronto Blizzard, and the team I followed at the time, North York Rockets. And that followed that until 1992 and the demise of the league. Then we got local teams, in North American League, Toronto Blizzard in the APSL, and 94 Toronto Rockets, they ran for a year with the APSL. But 1995, there was nothing to do, and I wanted to keep following soccer, so I tried, at the time, the Canadian National Soccer League. That's gone. It's actually started back in 1926, so I'm not an expert on the early history of the league. But I followed it, 95, 97, and then they changed their name to the CPSL, Canadian Professional Soccer League, which people, it bothered them that the word professional was in there because some teams were pro, semi-pro, some were amateur, all in the same league, coexisting. And then in 2006, they dropped the P. CPSL became just the Canadian Soccer League just for the last 2 years or so. Now, over time, they've had, since 95, they've had six teams. They've gone up as high as 14 teams there, and they're down to 10 teams. There's about, some years I've seen, maybe this year I can too, about 50 games with them. Now, of course, this year I've also been distracted with the Toronto FC, and of course I still follow the Toronto Lynx and the Toronto Lady Lynx as well. And of course I also have a day job and keep a website and just update usually once a week all that I've done. All that I've seen in the week. And in the last 2 years, I've got photos of every game I see, making it a bit more, multimedia, let's say. Because just rows of who shot this and who shot that and who scored. But to see colors of the teams and, see action makes it, I think, a bit more, it looks a bit better.
And it keeps you busy.
Yep, that's right. We were going to talk about the Canadian Soccer League tonight, and that's because they're just 2 weekends to go, and the playoffs are starting. Now, I said this year there's 10 teams. Over the years, they've usually divided things between East and West strictly by geography. Since usually over the years, more than half the teams are in Toronto, the East and the West would be somewhere in Toronto, get a few more teams farther east, and they bump the line over, but it's still some of the Toronto teams just cross over to the other leagues. But the last 2 years, as the commissioner Gary Kaplan has worked out, that the Toronto teams have been grouped into an international division with the ethnic rivalries and so on, and a national division is more for the teams. There are exceptions, but mostly the teams outside of the Toronto area, more for just the cities that are playing. Now, this year, I would say, I think the international division is stronger. There's 10 teams. Now, there's 8 teams that are going to make the playoffs, so it's probably easier to say who won't make the playoffs, but we'll get into a bit more detail than that. There's, let's say, 2 good teams in the national division, 3 good teams in the international division, and there's 5, let's say, caliber of the teams a lot, not as good, not nearly as good. Some of them maybe half as many points as the teams, the 5 good teams. So, let's see, the National Division, we've had St. Catharines Wolves, they're in first place. I believe certainly they'll, they might finish first. Trois-Rivières Attack is the only team that can catch them. Trois-Rivières, they are the farm team of the USL Montreal Impact. And so it's very interesting and a real coup that they joined this the CSL rather than a team like the USL, like under-23s or so, like the Toronto Lynx are this year, some of the teams like Ottawa Fury and so on. I certainly can understand why they would have joined this league, and that's because the season runs instead of from, let's say, like the Lynx and the Fury from May to July with playoffs in August, this league runs right from May to October. And so these other teams, are usually they ended in July so the kids can all go back to school, colleges, and so on. Whereas Trois-Rivières, the Impact, would be important that they keep their players fine-tuned and so on, just so they can call them up to the big leagues. So to have a team that a league that can play in August and September as well, I think was very important to them. And they're drawing about the best crowds that I've heard. They're a bit out of my range to see them, except when they come to Toronto, they get about I've heard 1,500 people a game, 1,500, and they have won the Open Canada Cup this year, which brought teams certainly from this CSL league, also from amateur teams below that. It's been open, and this year for the first time brought a team from British Columbia who had competed in a tournament of British Columbia teams. They were called the Columbus Clan, and of course from the Vancouver area, not Columbus, Ohio, and they got to the final, and Attack beat them this year. So sounds like the whole goal of this Open Canada Cup, which the CSL administers right now, is to get teams from all across Canada and to higher caliber teams open to anyone. And so it last year it involved an amateur team called Ottawa St. Anthony Italia, who ended up winning it all, and they beat the at the time, the Toronto Lynx, who were still in the USL in the final. And so the CSL teams were shut out last year. They got to about the semifinals, and that was as far as they'd go. So just continuing, Trois-Rivières, they're getting hot, too. They've won quite a few games in a row. St. Catharines, they played most of their schedule, so they're resting up. So they should be hot, good in the playoffs. Now we have the 3 teams that aren't so good. In the National Division, we've got Windsor Border Stars, North York Astros, and who are really a Toronto team, but they're just playing this National Division, and London City. Now, Windsor Border Stars and London City, to me, they're sort of fading. I think Windsor's going to make the playoffs because they do have another game against London. But they are having trouble for the road games getting enough guys to come out with them. It always seems to be often a league a problem near the end of the year to wrestle up minimum 13 guys or there's a fine. But when you have to name the coach as a player too, it can cause a problem and wondering if they're throwing in the towel or what. Now, the International Division, these are teams from Toronto, best team out there, Serbian White Eagles right now. However, there's two other good teams that could pass them in the standings. Toronto, Croatia, they are probably the longest standing team going back over the decades from the days in the CNSL. They recently, a year or so ago, had their 50th anniversary, so they've certainly been in this a long time. They've also, over the years, they've had the Metros Croatia, who won the Soccer Bowl in the days of the NASL and New York Cosmos and things like that. Now, there's also Italia Shooters. They're the third best team, or the third good team in the international division. Then we have two other teams, Canadian Lions, who started off very slowly this year, but they're getting better, finishing strong, and they could be trouble to anyone in the playoffs. And the Portuguese Supra, who I would say would be good enough to get into the playoffs, but precariously in the international division, they have two more games, but they're against some good teams in the international division, and so I think they might not make it. Okay, now just before, I guess, we sort of line up what teams might do well in the playoffs, and the alignment, it's not just 1-8, it's all seeded differently, and I'll go into that. I had to read up on that to be sure. Next year, they have at least reason to believe they'll be going up another two teams. They've already introduced them. The African Icons, that will be another Toronto-based team, and a team from Quebec City. Now, very popular and important to get another Quebec team in the league, just like the days where there's been teams in Laval and Ottawa, in that the road trips, the team can go to that part of the eastern Ontario, Quebec, and play two games on a weekend instead of just going out for one game and back. And also the geography and the rivalry, it's a good base to build up, a whole division out there. It could happen. Now, how good are these players? Well, over the years, some of them have played for, I guess, in the days of the Toronto Lynx, and and some of them even this year they played in the PDL Toronto Lynx, and the team from Trois Rivières. Well, certainly some of them have played in the Montreal team, and they've either been recouping from injuries, or they're just young players, maybe waiting for their call up and their big chance. So they could be at least that caliber. We've also had players like Nicky Budalic from Serbian White Eagles, Jason DeThomas, Des Humphrey from Italia Shooters, and Evan Milwald from Canadian Lions. They've actually, the last two games have been called up to Toronto FC. You know, wow. Well, they're reserve division, and they've handled the scoring. Two of them have, in Toronto getting a tie against, a win against Real Salt Lake, and a tie against Houston Dynamo in their last two games. And so they're not the first call-ups to that team, but as the team has struggled, the big team with scoring goals, I don't know, maybe the chance that maybe they could make it up to the big time someday. Now, what they're going to do, as I say, the easiest way to figure this out is just try and get in the playoffs. And so they're going to let eight out of 10 in. And it sounds like, well, that's a lot, but it's similar to, and the structure of who's getting in. It's not just four from each division. It's going to be three, the top three from each division, plus two wild card teams. So in theory, they could be five teams from international and three from national division. Could happen. That's similar to the CFL, Canadian football. And even when you think of it, other soccer league, the MLS, where they're going to let eight teams in, only two guaranteed from one division. And so they can have some, more teams in the east, more teams in the west. Might be able to make it. So it does make that extra rush to say, well, we don't have to just wait that one team's going to be so bad in our division, we're going to make it, because they have to worry about how the other teams are doing in the other division. So I've got it lined up as they're going to let seed the teams, 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, and then the two wild cards. So right now the standings, and I grabbed them off the CPS or the CSL website, we've got right now Serbian White Eagles Every team plays 22 games. They played 19 so far. They've got 41 points, and they've got, well, three games to go. I would predict they're going to win at least one, two, possibly all three. And so I think they're pretty safe that they'd be first place in of everything, seeded number one all through it. Now, St. Catharines is first in the National Division, and, of course, they deserve it. They have 39 points. They've only got one game to go, and there's a good chance they might win that. I will say not guaranteed that they're going to do it, because we'll get to the second, the two-seeded teams, or the teams that are seeded second in each division. We got Toronto Croatia in the International. They played 19 games. They have 37 points. That's four behind Serbian White Eagles. They're undefeated. But how could they be behind? Well, they have 9 wins and 10 ties. They just sort of tie too much. 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, so we can see over the months how they've lost ground on teams. Now, next, Trois Rivières Attack, second in the National. They've played 20 games. They've got two more. Could be possible they'd win both, so they might pass St. Catharines. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. 35 points they have. We've got one. We've got now the two third-place teams, Italia Shooters, 20 games they've played. They've got 36 points. Notice how that's one better than Trois Rivières for now. But because they're third, they might be able to pass Toronto Croatia. They might not. But there they are, 36 points. Now, then the huge gap of teams that I say aren't so good, because that's the best five. We've got the third-place team in the National. They're Windsor Border Stars. They played 19 games. They have 16 points. Like, what a drop-off, eh? Well, they've got three games to go. I would suggest they'll have at least one win because of a team they're going to play, and I'll tell you who they are in a minute. Now, then we get wild cards, and they could be in either division. Right now, Canadian Lions, 19 games, 20 points. They've got three games to go. They're pretty sure of being at least a wild card, and I think they have at least one or two wins left in them. North York Astros have the last wild card right now. They've got 16 points. They've played 20 games. Below them, Portuguese Supra, they've played 20 games. They have 16 points at all, so there's a tie. I might give that to North York Astros, because Portugal Supra have two games to play against very good teams in the international division. So I might give North York that. And London, they have played 19 games. They have 11 points. They've got three games to go, but I don't believe they're. I think they're just about out of it. I can't see them getting in. Now, the playoffs. We're going to have quarterfinals October 13th, 14th, that weekend. Semifinals 2021, the next weekend, and the finals on October 28th, the weekend after that. This is the first time they've ever had the playoffs spread out. We've had, over the years, it's always been semifinals, finals, the same weekend, sometimes one day after each other. At most, usually on a holiday weekend, they might be, you know, one day in between, but this is like a whole week apart. Should be good for, you know, promotion, selling tickets and so on. People taking a chance to buy, like, for the whole weekend. It's a risk that they might be marooned with tickets or that they don't want. So people aren't ready to make a move until they know who's in. So this would be different. Where the finals are going to be played, supposed to be hosted, or it is hosted this year by North York Astros. And there's been, over the years, problems with a wild card, teams already knocked out of the playoffs, getting to be reinvited. Last year, the Astros also hosted it, and the owner didn't push to have his team included anyway, and they just straight up had just semifinals and finals, and there they were. Now, there's a problem. There's two teams that there might be trouble with, they've had problems with. Last year, the ethnic teams, Toronto Croatia and Serbian White Eagles, this of course goes back to history, 1,000 years of the two countries being beside each other in the wars over the years. This seems to bring out the best or the worst in soccer rivalries and possibly fighting and so on. This year they've only had those teams play twice, or schedule them to play twice against each other, as opposed to sometimes in your own division you might play a team up to four times. They also made it okay, two teams, or these two teams, you'll each get a home game. It'll be played at Centennial Stadium. You team get to sell all the tickets to your fans, and the other team gets, for their home game, they get to sell all the tickets to their fans. They were sold through the clubs themselves and through their own community, like through the bakery, delicatessens, nightclubs, and so on, of just their clientele and people. So they had a game. Serbian White Eagles was the home team. It was a 1-1 tie. There was 1,600 people there, and well-behaved, no trouble at all. It was on a Thursday night to cut down on some out-of-towners coming for the weekend and rustling up trouble. But who would believe that this league is successful enough now to, turn down a crowd potential of, maybe 3,000 people by saying, no, it's more important that we conduct this safely without any incident, we'll give up that gate revenue just to have this thing go off without a hitch. And so far that's worked. Now, in the playoffs, you can't have a home game playoffs and not invite the other team. So in case the seeding works out that somehow the Serbian White Eagles and Toronto Croatia end up playing each other, the owner of North York Astros has not only rented out Esther Shiner Stadium, that's his home stadium in Toronto, north suburb of Toronto, but also Lamport Stadium in downtown Toronto, which has a double stand, like an east side and a west side, and they can separate the fans that way. There was a promise from the city, because it's a terrible concrete field, like an old vintage 1970s or 80s AstroTurf, that there was going to be improved, a new carpet laid down like they've done in the other cities. But as I went to the Toronto FC versus Columbus Crew, not Columbus Clan, this was the real MLS. I peeked between the fence watching a girls' field hockey game, and of course the field, they have not touched it. But it sounds just like when they've had to close swimming pools and because the city's run out of money or so on, I guess they've just stopped this and they haven't redone the field. So if they have to play on concrete, I guess that's how it'll work. So just too bad. Any other teams except those two, they'll just play it in North York, because those fans, they bring the biggest crowd. And if they're not, their team's not in it, there wouldn't be much interest for them coming to the game or showing up. Now, I'm just going to say how the league in the last year or so has improved. Some of the fields they're playing on, they're getting this field turf. They had it in North York for about 2 years now. They put it in Birchmount this last year, that's very improved. And now they've got it, the Hershey Center in Mississauga. The Toronto Croatia team has moved from their place in Streetsville, which was Memorial Park, a real swampy mud pit with the lights turning off at 11 o'clock, whether the game was finished or not, which caused a playoff game fiasco years ago, got tales about that, versus the now where they're playing on like an AstroTurf training ground, a very lovely field, and there's no worries about the weather getting bad and, that it rains, that it's muddy or anything like that. So the teams are improving that way.
How can this field turf compare to the field turf at BMO Field?
Well, I think it's not quite the same. Of course, I've never been able to stand on the field at BMO Field, but this is, I guess, like it is at the Ontario Soccer Center too, which is what Italian Shooters plays on. It's very good. It's when you're running across it, you can, there's bits of sand come up, so it's better than the 1970s vintage of just a carpet that wears down. So I don't think there's been many complaints about that. I don't know if it's... I'm not a player myself, so I don't know, how it actually compares if someone who might have played on BMO, if it's better or not. I suspect because of the expense involved that the BMO field is the absolute number one best caliber, but I wouldn't laugh at these fields as an improvement for things. Maybe it's not natural grass, but as compared to natural grass all year long, where it's there's going to be sometimes that natural grass is going to be pretty swampy with the weather conditions in the city for a whole 5 months. You're not always going to get perfect grass fields. Well, now, of course, I'm one of the few people that do report on this league, and this is my website. I found my own niche, I guess, because the it's especially even this year with all the big papers covering Toronto FC has sort of left me open as one of the few that reports on this at all. I've noticed that the games, there's this B-Win. There's people on the telephone reporting the games like on the internet, and you think, wow, isn't this great? But the broadcasting they do is, home team advantage, fast play, and it's really a betting pool. So this league is actually just like Proline. You can actually, internationally, you can bet on these games, just like if you need to carry ties with Manchester United or so on, you'd say, oh, I need a sure winner. Let's bet that London City is going to lose, and I'll double my money, like something like that. But it's not exactly like reporting on the league. The league itself does pretty well. I actually quote from their stories, padding out my own page with, you know, who scored the goals, especially to games that I can't get to. I just like what I do a bit better. Instead of saying there was a goal at 42 minutes, I'd say, well, yes, there was, but it was caused by this this guy deking three players, and then the other guy, kicking it, and it went off the butt of another player and into the net in the top corner or something like that. It makes it a bit more exciting and, also telling how many the attendance and how many people were there and so on. And, of course, attendance can vary depending on the weather and so on. And the local draw, the teams from maybe as low as 30 to, sometimes 15, like this Toronto-Croatia-Serbia game was 1,600 people. And then, of course, as I've heard in Montreal, 1,500, no problem. It's almost a regularity now.
So did you say who you think's going to take home the trophy this year?
Of everything, no, I didn't get to that. Maybe first round. Let's see. I had, I still think could be good. I think it will come down to a final game between Serbian White Eagles and Tra Rivera Attack. They are going to play within a week. It just happens the schedule, the way the schedule's worked out, they're going to play each other. And I think that might be a good benchmark of how these teams will play if, 2 weeks after that they meet for all the marbles. But it sounds like Serbia didn't start off really great this year, and they've shown that they can lose, but they've also shown that they can win, and I think they've just pulled it together in the last 6 weeks or so, and they're pretty hot. And so is Tra Rivera Attack. I think they're the two best teams right now. St. Catharines, Toronto-Croatia might do it. Italia, now that they're down to third place because of the draw, they may, and of course they may not have lost home advantage, they may find themselves on some road trip against somebody and have problems. So those are the five good teams. The other three teams, although Canadian Lions, because they're hot, I think they could get an upset. I just think that they, by experience and so on, and those three teams will be knocked out quickly. And so you'll have four good teams after that, and then divvied up, probably separating, however they can schedule, to keep Serbia and Toronto, Croatia split until the last minute. And I think they can easily do that because of the seeding pattern, 1-8 and so on, and then odds evens that they'll be kept apart until the final. If that happens.
So what's the, if you were to bet on a team, who would you put that on?
Well, I think I'd still wait until, I'd still like to decide after this weekend of Serbia White Eagles and Tra Rivera Attack. I'd like to see that game before, or hear the results anyway, before I really go out on a limb, but it could be either team. This is the best, probably the closest that the teams have all been, or there's some really good teams all about the same, that you can't really rate a favorite. Last year was sort of an upset. Serbian White Eagles just blasted right through the league, and yet Italia Shooters pulled off an upset in the final, game, and so surprised everyone. But this year, there's no like favorites right now, I'd say. Easily those two teams, and you could bring in a third or fourth. Even a fifth team could be argued with that it's a possibility they could be in or win it all. Now, I mean, the league does give out trophies for just finishing first in their division, yes, right, but who remembers that? Sort of like in hockey, that you were first in your conference, that's soon forgotten about in, within a week or so. This Open Canada Cup, Trois Rivières already got one piece of silverware already, and that they could add to their total with this as well, and of course, likely that they might be first in their National League. They could do like a triple, so that would be really something to aim for. Now, whether they're adding to their team now that the Montreal Impact have not been knocked out, I don't think they can just load up the team with those people, but they will. I think they could bring over a few who may not have, who, as long as they played for as long as they play for the Attack, maybe a certain number of games that they could still be brought back to play in this game. I think Darko Kolek has been someone who's done that. He's played for both the high and the low, and played for both.
Okay. One topic I want to talk about is expansion. You already touched on it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I read on a blog that the owner of Quebec FC hasn't been heard of, so do we know if Quebec FC is coming for sure? Or?
I don't know. I that caught my eye, too. I don't know. I guess we're going to hear about that. It'd be interesting. They gave them already the royal welcome at the press conference at the beginning of the year, and that they disappear later would sound like the bad old days, and whether they could be replaced or not. I've heard there might be a team that was that had been dropped for a year might come back, maybe Brampton, a team in Brampton, they might come back. And, of course, that it still might be open for taking in more teams. There's usually a something over the winter and things that can be brought in. There's supposed to be interest in a few other cities, and of course in Toronto with just other ethnic groups might be interested in joining, but I believe that the league is now trying to get the money backed up first, so that's interesting that Quebec is being brought in, and they should have had an owner on there that he might have disappeared. I don't know what that's all about.
Okay, and let's talk a bit about the team in Quebec. I heard that they're on the radio and getting quite a lot of coverage in the newspapers, and that they're going to be on TV too. So, do you think that this is a model that the league could follow in the future?
Well, I think it would be great. They're sort of, again, beyond my range. They wouldn't be able to watch them on TV, I guess, because of how far away they are. Over the years, there's been, it's actually dropped off, but there used to be broadcasts of the games. Italia Shooters, they would have games like the crew from, let's say, Rogers or cable television would record the game, and they might have it maybe not live to cut into their home gate, but they might replay it on like a Monday night or something like that if you were within that cable city, you know, just like they do with minor hockey and so on. And they have, over the years, I think now I've seen a few that, or I've seen that team, they might not broadcast the whole game, but they'll have a highlight package, and they will, or like, chop it up into a highlight package and have interviews with the players who scored after the game. That'd be great for, you know, to put that on TV, but it'd be fine if there was something they could have that on the internet, like sort of like your radio show there, that people could watch the highlights about, wow, what a great goal, and get involved in the excitement. For 2 years at least, they had a show called, at the time it was called This Week in the CPSL, a guy called Alex Bajanonski. Boy, I think I pronounced that wrong. If I see him, I know what his name is. And that was like a half-hour highlight package. It was sort of like spliced together from all the cable broadcasts of games. And, you know, they spun in a few interviews or so on, and I was one of my favorite shows. I mean, even when I've not had the same cable that show was on, some guy made a tape for me of End Over End all in the days of videotapes of, you know, just that whole 20-show or 20-week season or whatever they had. And so I just watched that after the season was over and said, yeah, I remember that, or I remember that, or, hey, that's me in the third row there. So if they could bring something like that back, I guess it'd have to have some interest. I know there was some talk about them having, you know, internet radio. They were going to broadcast the game. It still wouldn't surprise me that they might try and do something having the final on, but the league is sort of a lot of talk. I'd like to hear that they do something like that and be interesting. That it, you know, we got to try it sometime and then say, well, okay, and then we'll expand it, and great. If they can have radio broadcasts of soccer, I've not really been, I guess I don't listen to radio anything, wondering, I guess baseball's about the only game I can really follow on the radio, and that, well, I don't like baseball especially, but you just know where everybody is because everyone sort of stands still until someone throws the ball, and then you imagine where they've run. But soccer, everyone's running all over the place, so it's sort of harder to cover on the radio. However, there's generations of people who grew up with just radio hockey that I guess they can imagine or what's going on. So could work for soccer, and of course it's certainly a start.
So I live about half an hour out of Guelph. Will we be getting a team in this neck of the woods in Kitchener or Guelph, or is there any chance of that happening, do you know?
Well, it's possible. One thing is you've got to have the interested ownership, and so you've got to have ownership interest, community group, or, of course, an owner with money, and they are interested money either for their own vanity or that they think, ooh, money, I could charge admission for people coming to the game and, you know, a field to play on, somewhere to play. And so, yes, let's get started, because I'm sure the league is interested. Over the years, I've heard that, Kitchener-Waterloo, oh, yeah, it's possible, but it's just you've got to get an interested owner. They've never, obviously, a market. Just yelling out is and popular on the message boards and so on is Hamilton. If they could get a team back in Hamilton, Ottawa, if they could get a team in Ottawa, like big cities like that. But they've had teams in the past. I don't think it's an attendance problem. It's just the ownership. Let's say the ownership was a bit shady, and so there's been trouble with both those teams. Their franchises have been revoked, and that maybe by now the territorial rights have lapsed, that those owners aren't, you know, owners of that territory anymore. But it's just, do we have a new owner step in with money? Yes, bring money, and you know, just say, okay, well, here we are, we're ready for a team.
What about the commissioner? How long has he been in his job, and what do you think of him?
Well, I've seen him for I believe this might be his third year by now. Certainly I see him at the press conferences at the beginning of the year. He's got, I actually haven't seen him, like, showing up to games. I mean, most of the games are after supper and so on. So what he does in the league offices, I'll see him probably at the end of the year. I might get him to, say a few words that if you want me back on the show again, that maybe from the, you know, the awards banquet or who's won or after the playoffs, that I can say, told you so, that I could come back on your show and would just say, this is where sort of the vision is sort of showing off of what exactly they're planning. And I'm certainly there'll be some State of the Union address while people are eating, you know, the last pork chop or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. So what about the Canadian Major Indoor Soccer League? I've heard that there's interest from Hamilton to join up this league, and when it had first started, I had immediately thought that this could be a league that could kind of work as a almost West division of the Canadian Soccer League, and that they could work together, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Do you have any thoughts on the Canadian?
I'm not a real follower of indoor soccer. I know there was a time where I don't know if it's from the CPSL days, they had an indoor league for a while, and it was sort of to keep the players in shape and so on. I was sort of stretched, and I didn't follow the league. I think that might have ran either 1 or 2 years. It was sort of certainly an introduction for the Toronto Supra, or the Portuguese Supra, to come into the league and see what it was like, and then they finally joined up in the outdoor league. But there didn't seem to be an indoor league going right now, not authorized or anything to do with the CSL. Now, I mean, certainly there might be a league. I know most of these teams have farm teams themselves that they can draw players from, and they like a reserves division and so on, that they play in local leagues, and that they might stay fit by playing in the winter. I'm just not a follower of that. I sort of turn it off and sort of catch up on my own web page in my life in the off season, and then just I'm back in May now. What's going on?
I think their plan is to eventually move outdoors. So if they do that, do you think that would?
Well, one thing is, I guess I don't know about the indoor league, that these guys make enough money that I guess they can be supported, because the traveling between the Prairie provinces is quite much. As I said earlier when we started talking about London and Windsor sort of fizzling out, they're having enough trouble rustling up enough guys to come to town for some games. As I went to London to see the Open Canada Cup, I went twice on a Saturday and then the holiday Monday, and it was 2-hour drive there, 2 hours back, 2 hours there, 2 hours back. That could be quite a grind, and especially if you worked, 9 to 5 on, the loading platform or whatever some of these guys do. some of them are students, but some of them are, they've got day jobs and a family to support. That these teams from out west, that those guys are making money or not, well, more power to them if they are. But then would they possibly, in their outdoor league, go for, when you go from, let's say, Winnipeg to road trip to Calgary, would you play 2 games that weekend to play? Or is the caliber of the league that they could split up and just have everybody's in Manitoba, everyone's in Alberta, and maybe just once or twice go in, go to the other folks' town on like a long trip? Interesting, but I can't speculate on that. One thing good about Ontario is the cities. There are enough cities close enough together that they can almost form their own divisions, and once in a while, except this year, poor Trois-Rivières, except they are a pro team because they're driving in the Saputo bus, or one of his buses, for the Impact, so they got all the comforts of home, or however comfortable you can get on a bus. And, of course, that's their living. There's no worries that some of those guys are working at the Walmart or something like that.
So that's it for this show, and a huge thanks goes out to Robin for coming on the show and giving that lengthy interview. And if all goes right, we'll definitely be hearing from him again. So, yeah, make sure that you come back next week. We should have a good show for you then. And, yeah, thank you for listening. Goodbye.